It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Uh-oh, sounds like somebody's got a case of the Tuesdays.
Come on, son, you gotta get out there and take the mound. It's game time.
It's time for Tuesdays with Tim. Former Brewers pitcher and current Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst, Tim Diller joins Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. Tim's appearance is served up by Fourth Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant on National Avenue in West Milwaukee. Check them out online and make your reservation today at thefourthbase.com.
All right, time to do Tuesdays with Tim Diller, coming off a Brewers victory yesterday against the Toronto Blue Jays. Follow Tim on Twitter at DillardTim. Tim, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Sparky. How's it going?
Going good, man. Brewers get a nice win last night, and you got to just talk about Colin Ray here. I mean, I'm sorry. If this isn't one of the feel-good stories of the Major League Baseball season to this point, I'm not sure what is, considering, you know, I guess you would label him kind of as a journeyman type guy that's been around the game a while, up and down. And now to be in this situation to where he legitimately, you might be able to argue that as far as how he's been pitching as of late, he might be the best starter in this rotation outside of Freddie Peralta right now.
Well, I mean, he's just been reliable. I mean, going back to last season. And everybody in major leagues wants a pitcher like this, a guy that pitches the contact, gets out, and can go deep into a ball game. The only reason he hasn't gone deeper into ball games, I think, until last night, being his longest outing in seven innings since like 2016, is just because the bullpen for the Brewers for the last, I mean, how many years has been so good. So if you have a chance to win a game, what do? You turn it over to the bullpen. So that was what he was victim of when he came in relief after the opener in Boston. He threw four scoreless, only 70 pitches. But last night, he threw 85 pitches through seven innings. He was absolutely brilliant. Gave up one solo homer, pitched to contact, threw 21 of 23 first pitch strikes. So anyone out there that has a kid that wants to be a pitcher, learn how to throw strikes. It's going to serve you well, I promise.
You know, it's funny because he talked after the game that the biggest difference of him as a younger pitcher in the big leagues versus now is he was kind of maybe more of a nibbler back then than now, where he's more attacking the zone, reading how guys are taking their swings when they miss and kind of swings they're taking at different pitches, and really probably just a smarter baseball player than he was back then.
Well, I think he's a throwback, probably to more my generation and the probably 20 years that came before me as well. Like right now, I'm watching him. I'm at the field right now. I'm watching Daniel Vogelback take early batting practice. But on the side, in the lower concourse down the right field line, Colin Ray is running stadium. He's running up and down the stadiums. This is an old school tactic. That was what you did after you pitched. You know, that's what you did. That's how you recovered the next day. You get out, I think they call it lactic acid or whatever, to kind of get your muscles back on track after a long outing. You ran stadiums. I've seen guys do it around the league. Luis Castillo would do it when he was with the Reds and they would come through. Kind of a dying art, but I'm watching him right now. So that's what he is. He's a throwback to, I'm going to make you miss my pitch off the barrel, but I'm okay with you putting it in play because my defense is so good. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. You got to go through the aggro crag a little bit to kind of buy into that. But man, it's fun watching him pitch. And I tell you, he's rare in these day and age.
I want to talk about something that's happened to him twice already, and you referenced Boston. The idea of an opener pitching before him, before he gets on the mound, and as far as what that does to a starter versus normally just coming out and throwing the first pitch of the game or coming in the bottom of the first and pitching, how much does that screw up routine and what a starter normally does and whether or not that's beneficial to the starter or not?
Well, I think it's a conversation. You know, you talk to the starter and say, hey, are you comfortable with this? And honestly, some guys aren't. Some guys can't do it. Some guys can. It's kind of to each their own. And so clearly him and Bryce Wilson decided, yeah, we can do this. And the reason it came to the forefront happened in Boston. We saw it again in Philly. And now they didn't win every single game, but you could argue that, yes, it worked. They brought in Jared Koenig because they have usually heavy left-handed batters, guys that can, you know, produce, hit for power. You bring in a lefty to get through the one, two, or three guys, and then you bring in the starter. And what that does is just gets guys that are on base, off base. Gets guys that would be hitting for extra base hits, not doing that. And then you kind of get in the flow of the middle to lower end of the order that's more conducive to how you pitch against right-handed batters. And it, I'm telling you, it worked. And Pat Murphy is like, you know, we don't really want to keep doing this all the time, but if you have two lefties that you refuse to drop down in the order, then we're going to do this. So it's a combination of the starters being willing to do it and adjust accordingly, because he had to come, Colin Ray had to come out of the bullpen at Fenway and get into the ball game as well, or in Philly, I should say. But you also have to have a bullpen guy that's willing to be the opener in Jared Koenig. He's done a fantastic job. So it's one of those things you kind of hold your breath the first time, but when you see it work, and now they've seen it work four times, it's a pretty cool thing.
You know, Jackson Churio is a guy that I think everybody's been watching the entire time, waiting for him to maybe kind of turn the corner. And he has a big double, I believe it was on Saturday for the Brewers, that gave them the lead. And then, to go along with, he was 2-for-4 in that game. And then yesterday, he comes back and hits a home run in his first at-bat. Are you seeing anything different from Jackson Churio here these last three or four games?
Well, I will say that early on, anytime somebody got in trouble, they would just throw some sort of slider or sweeper or curveball out of the zone, and he would chase. That was the first step. So he started, you know, he stopped chasing that kind of stuff out of the zone. But he's always been good on fastball. People try to blow a fastball by him. He's always able to get some piece of the wood of the bat on it. And now what you're seeing is mistakes. Guys make mistakes, and he's crushing it. Pretty much every home run he's hit this year is a mistake by the pitcher. And you know what? You might can say, oh, well, the pitcher made a mistake. Yeah, I've made tons of mistakes in my career. I'm probably making a mistake right now on the radio. No, I'm just kidding. but you make a mistake, and you hope the hitter doesn't capitalize on it. Well, Jackson Churio has, and that's the sign of a guy that is coming around. It's the sign of a guy that's almost there, and he's 20 years old. You start looking at the extra base hits. Now, yes, the strikeout rate's high, but I guarantee there's not too many 20-year-olds that could boast some of the things that he's already been able to do, plus play good defense, right? He's already seen the defense. He had trouble running in on balls. They've already talked about that. So what we're seeing is a learning curve. We saw it maybe with a Bryce Durang last year, Sal Frelick, and now we're seeing it with Jackson Churio, who, again, is younger than both of them. So we're on this journey with him together. And if you watch closely enough, which they pay me to watch closely enough, and what I'm seeing is progress. I'm seeing a guy that's learning and getting experience every ball game.
I always like to look at the positive. You talk about a young player. Last seven games, he's hitting .300 with a .650 slugging percentage, couple of home runs, 6 of 20 with 4 runs scored and 6 RBIs. Those are good building blocks to kind of go with. What does it mean for this Brewers franchise with Garrett Mitchell starting his rehab last night, Tim Dillard? A couple of hits last night. I think he had 3 RBIs in his first rehab outing down in Arizona at the sports complex down there. As far as when Garrett Mitchell comes back up here, what does that then mean for these outfielders? Does that mean Sal Frelick then ends up coming?
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to the infield.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think they've probably had too many conversations about it. I think it's all going to be contingent on how Garrett Mitchell comes back. And I think what people don't realize is just how good Garrett Mitchell is. I don't think people have gotten the full grasp of it, because it's been a couple years since we saw him do so well, and he's had freak injuries ever since. And that's tough to go through. It really is. It's not like it's like a habitual thing where it's like I got a bad hamstring and I pull it all the time. It's like, no, it's getting hit by a pitch. He's rehabbing the broken hand. He dislocated his shoulder or subluxed it and ended up having surgery when he tried the crazy slide last year. But that's the kind of player he is. He is elite. And I think people are like, well, listen, I love Blake Perkins. He has been doing a fantastic job. I don't know how this is going to play out. All I know is that Garrett Mitchell is an elite player. He's electric. He's fast. He's going to steal bases. He's going to run down everything in the outfield, and he can hit for power. So they're going to find a place for him when they decide that he's ready. Does Sal go to the infield? Who knows? We have Joey Ortiz playing such a great third base. So I don't know. It's a good problem to have when you have players that need to be playing. Will we see more platooning? Who knows? But what I do know is that when they get Garrett Mitchell back, they're a better team.
Talking with Tim Diller, Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers. Allen's brought to you by Fourth Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant here on 1250 AM The Fan. Tuesdays with Tim. Follow him on Twitter at DillerTim. I was seeing on MLB Now earlier today, they had Matt Klein on, the Brewers assistant GM, and they brought up William Contreras' framing stats as a catcher, and last year how much better he was last year in that area, +7, and now this year he's down to a -3 this year, like he was the 2 years previous to get into Milwaukee last year. Can you pick up or notice anything as a pitcher as far as what's changed with Contreras from that perspective?
Nothing big. I think in the last couple weeks he's been dealing with a hand issue. I think he took a foul ball off the hand at Detroit. But before that, I think maybe he had taken a foul ball off the hand maybe or something. And so anyway, he's probably dealing with some sort of ailment. All these guys are, right? You're not going to play 60 whatever games in a row and not have something going on. But honestly, I haven't seen anything different, bad, worse, or whatever. He's probably have to adjust to a lot of different pitchers. If you go back to last year, you know, he kind of had a set rotation when it comes to certain guys, and now he's probably already caught, 11 different starters, probably 20 different relievers. That could be a difference. But at the same time, I think umpires are noticing, and I think there was a conversation for them in the offseason or spring training with the umpires saying, listen, these guys are going to try to steal strikes. I think that's what they're going to try to. Don't fall for it. Here's the list of the guys that can do it. Because that's what I see. I see a bunch of umpires that are like, last year would have fallen right into the trap of, boom, making it look really good. And they go, yeah, that's a strike. Now I'm seeing more and more umpires not falling for it. So I don't think it's any knock on him in any regard. I think it's that, you know, maybe the umpires are getting a little wiser because it's definitely on the radar.
Tim, what about Carlos Rodriguez tonight going to make his debut against the Toronto Blue Jays? And obviously you could speak to the nerves and everything that goes into it, just like Gasser had to go through earlier this year. Now he gets to go through coming up tonight.
Yeah, 22 years old from Nicaragua. Actually ran into some people at Third Street Market Hall that are from Nicaragua, and they were really excited. And I was like, really? Is he already named the starter? Because I didn't even know that. But apparently the word's out. and yes, he is getting the start tonight. Another product of how the Brewers are able to develop pitching. He's the number 6, I believe, prospect for the Brewers, 5 or 6. Last year, he was an MILB Organizational Player of the Year. And, you know, he's put himself on the map. And what happens when you put yourself on the map, doesn't matter really what level you're at or how much experience you have. If you have a team in the big leagues that's hurting, you're going to get your shot. So I'm proud of him for getting his shot. I've been keeping up with him. In AAA, he's already been with the team for maybe 3 or 4 days now. I don't know if that's public. So
yeah, it is.
Don't tell anybody. I'm
it
glad
is.
We're
no, you're
you know,
good.
Taping this. You can edit it. but yeah, it's going to be another exciting thing. And I'm sure he's getting wisdom poured into him going, hey, listen, we have an elite defense. Don't worry about that. Just pitch your game, and that's all you can be. Don't try to do anything more than that. I remember the best piece of advice. Somebody asked me, remember Chris Davis came up with the Brewers outfielder, then
power hitter. Yep.
Yeah, power hitter. We were in the outfield shacking in AAA Nashville years ago, probably whatever year it was before he got to the big leagues. And he was asking me about the big leagues. And he asked a great question. He was like, what's the difference between AAA and the big leagues? And I said, when you get to the big leagues, you'll feel like you'll be able to hit a ball further than you've ever hit a ball before. You will feel like you'll be able to throw a ball faster than you've ever thrown. You will feel like you can run faster than you've ever run before. But the problem is you really can't. You just feel like you can. So you almost have to fight against that. You have to fight against the, I'm going to do more than what I'm capable of. Because really, just be yourself. Anyway, I ended up running into him like a year later because he got called up and left my old crusty self in AAA. Right? And I saw him down the road, and he told me, he goes, dude, that's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Because I was like, dude, I say a lot. I probably was making it up on the fly. But it is. I think there's people that care about this kid, and they're going to say, you be you tonight. Don't try to do anything other than what you're capable of. If you throw 95, don't try to throw 97. You know, pitch your game.
So let me
and
ask.
That's the best piece of advice.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you one last question, and that is, where's the advantage? Because I feel like every time somebody gets called up for the minors to face the Brewers over the last decade, it's always advantage pitcher and the Brewers struggle. But where truly is the advantage? I mean, how much film do these guys really have on Carlos Rodriguez in that Blue Jays dugout right now?
Well, I mean, they know it's going to be a, hey, we're going to face this guy one time. We're not going to face him again. So let's just put together a plan. What's it look like? And then you start categorizing guys. Is he a sinker slider guy? Is he a curveball forcing guy? Is he a velocity guy? Is he throw a lot of balls? We saw Berrios in yesterday's ball game. He was 30% first pitch strikes. And then on the flip side of that, you got Colin Ray. He was in the 90 percentile, which I'm not sure anyone else has done that in all of baseball this season as a starter, at least not over seven innings. That's ridiculous. So I think you start categorizing, hey, is he a strike thrower? Is he a first pitch strike thrower? Can he hold runners? What's his pick move like? I don't think they're digging any deeper than that of like, let's go down into the minor leagues and find out that his birth certificate. I don't think it's going that direction. I think it's more or less, hey, how do we can put him in a category of other pitchers we've seen or other pitchers we've seen a lot of, and then know that he's a rookie, and then rookies are susceptible. I mean, if Justin Turner's playing tonight, I bet he's going to take a huge hack first pitch, and then after that, he'll probably end up in a 3-1 count because that's what veterans do. They take huge hacks early to scare younger players and then get in good counts so they can do damage.
That's good stuff. Tim Dillard, Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Great food over there at 4th Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant. Literally everything CJ makes over there, him and his crew, is absolutely delicious. Perfect place to go before the game, after the game, on an off day, whenever. Take your date there, take your wife there, and they will all love it. Follow Tim Dillard on Twitter. We all love him at Dillard Tim. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to Friday's broadcast celebrating Rock's 30 years in the TV booth and having all these former Brewers play-by-play guys coming back to work with them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a whole lot of...
Back to the infield.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think they've probably had too many conversations about it. I think it's all going to be contingent on how Garrett Mitchell comes back. And I think what people don't realize is just how good Garrett Mitchell is. I don't think people have gotten the full grasp of it because it's been a couple years since we saw him do so well, and he's had freak injuries ever since. And that's tough to go through. It really is. It's not like it's like a habitual thing where it's like I got a bad hamstring and I pull it all the time. It's like, no, it's getting hit by a pitch. He's rehabbing the broken hand. He dislocated his shoulder or subluxed it and ended up having surgery when he tried the crazy slide last year. But that's the kind of player he is. He is elite. And I think people are like, well, listen, I love Blake Perkins. He has been doing a fantastic job. I don't know how this is going to play out. All I know is that Garrett Mitchell is an elite player. He's electric. He's fast. He's going to steal bases. He's going to run down everything in the outfield, and he can hit for power. So they're going to find a place for him when they decide that he's ready. Does Sal go to the infield? Who knows? We have Joey Ortiz playing such a great third base. So I don't know. It's a good problem to have when you have players that need to be playing. Will we see more platooning? Who knows? But what I do know is that when they get Garrett Mitchell back, they're a better team.
Talking with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers. Allen's brought to you by 4th Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant here on 1250 AM The Fan. Tuesdays with Tim. Follow him on Twitter at DillardTim. I was seeing on MLB Now earlier today, they had Matt Klein on, the Brewers assistant GM, and they brought up William Contreras' framing stats as a catcher, and last year how much better he was last year in that area, +7, and now this year he's down to a -3 this year, like he was the 2 years previous to get into Milwaukee last year. Can you pick up or notice anything as a pitcher as far as what's changed with Contreras from that perspective?
Nothing big. I think in the last couple weeks he's been dealing with a hand issue. I think he took a foul ball off the hand at Detroit. But before that, I think maybe he had taken a foul ball off the hand maybe or something. And so anyway, he's probably dealing with some sort of ailment. All these guys are, right? You're not going to play 60 whatever games in a row and not have something going on. But honestly, I haven't seen anything different, bad, worse, or whatever. He's probably have to adjust to a lot of different pitchers. If you go back to last year, you know, he kind of had a set rotation when it comes to certain guys, and now he's probably already caught, 11 different starters, probably 20 different relievers. that could be a difference. But at the same time, I think umpires are noticing, and I think there was a conversation for them in the offseason or spring training with the umpires saying, listen, these guys are going to try to steal strikes. I think that's what they're going to try to. Don't fall for it. Here's the list of the guys that can do it. Because that's what I see. I see a bunch of umpires that are like, last year would have fallen right into the trap of, boom, making it look really good. And they go, yeah, that's a strike. Now I'm seeing more and more umpires not falling for it. So I don't think it's any knock on him in any regard. I think it's that, you know, maybe the umpires are getting a little wiser because it's definitely on the radar.
Tim, what about Carlos Rodriguez tonight going to make his debut against the Toronto Blue Jays? And obviously you could speak to the nerves and everything that goes into it, just like Gasser had to go through earlier this year. Now he gets to go through coming up tonight.
Yeah, 22 years old from Nicaragua. Actually ran into some people at Third Street Market Hall that are from Nicaragua, and they were really excited. And I was like, really? Is he already named the starter? Because I didn't even know that. But apparently the word's out. and, yes, he is getting the start tonight. Yeah, just another product of how the Brewers are able to develop pitching. He's the number six, I believe, prospect for the Brewers, five or six. Last year he was an MILB Organizational Player of the Year. And, you know, he's put himself on the map. And what happens when you put yourself on the map, doesn't matter really what level you're at or how much experience you have. If you have a team in the big leagues that's hurting, you're going to get your shot. So I'm proud of him for getting his shot. I've been keeping up with him in AAA. He's already been with the team for maybe 3 or 4 days now. I don't know if that's public. So
yeah, it is.
Don't tell anybody. I'm
it
glad
is.
We're
no, you're
you know,
good.
Taping this. You can edit it. but, yeah, it's going to be another exciting thing. And I'm sure he's getting wisdom poured into him going, hey, listen, we have an elite defense. Don't worry about that. Just pitch your game, and that's all you can be. Don't try to do anything more than that. I remember the best piece of advice. Somebody asked me, remember Chris Davis came up with the Brewers, outfielder, then
power hitter. Yep.
Yeah, power hitter. We were in the outfield shacking in AAA Nashville years ago, probably whatever year it was before he got to the big leagues. And he was asking me about the big leagues. And he asked a great question. He was like, what's the difference between AAA and the big leagues? And I said, when you get to the big leagues, you'll feel like you'll be able to hit a ball further than you've ever hit a ball before. You will feel like you'll be able to throw a ball faster than you've ever thrown. You will feel like you can run faster than you've ever run before. But the problem is you really can't. You just feel like you can. So you almost have to fight against that. You have to fight against the, I'm going to do more than what I'm capable of. Because really, just be yourself. Anyway, I ended up running into him like a year later because he got called up and left my old crusty self in AAA. Right? And I saw him down the road, and he told me, he goes, dude, that's the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Because I was like, dude, I say a lot. I probably was making it up on the fly. But it is. I think there's people that care about this kid, and they're going to say, you be you tonight. Don't try to do anything other than what you're capable of. If you throw 95, don't try to throw 97. You know, pitch your game.
So let me
and
ask.
That's the best piece of advice.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me ask you one last question, and that is, where's the advantage? Because I feel like every time somebody gets called up for the minors to face the Brewers over the last decade, it's always advantage pitcher and the Brewers struggle. But where truly is the advantage? I mean, how much film do these guys really have on Carlos Rodriguez in that Blue Jays dugout right now?
Well, I mean, they know it's going to be hey, we're going to face this guy one time. We're not going to face him again. So let's just put together a plan. What's it look like? And then you start categorizing guys. Is he a sinker slider guy? Is he a curveball forcing guy? Is he a velocity guy? Is he throw a lot of balls? We saw Berrios yesterday's ball game. He was 30% first pitch strikes. And then on the flip side of that, you got Colin Ray. He was in the 90 percentile, which I'm not sure anyone else has done that in all of baseball this season as a starter, at least not over seven innings. That's ridiculous. So I think you start categorizing, hey, is he a strike thrower? Is he a first pitch strike thrower? Can he hold runners? What's his pick move like? I don't think they're digging any deeper than that of like, let's go down into the minor leagues and find out the birth certificate. I don't think it's going that direction. I think it's more or less, hey, how do we can put him in a category of other pitchers we've seen or other pitchers we've seen a lot of, and then know that he's a rookie, and then rookies are susceptible. I mean, if Justin Turner's playing tonight, I bet he's going to take a huge hack first pitch, and then after that, he'll probably end up in a 3-1 count because that's what veterans do. They take huge hacks early to scare younger players and then get in good counts so they can do damage.
That's good stuff. Tim Dillard, Bally Sports, Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Great food over there at 4th Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant. Literally everything CJ makes over there, him and his crew, is absolutely delicious. Perfect place to go before the game, after the game, on an off day, whenever. Take your date there, take your wife there, and they will all love it. Follow Tim Dillard on Twitter. We all love him, at Dillard Tim. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to Friday's broadcast celebrating Rock's 30 years in the TV booth and having all these former Brewers play-by-play guys coming back to work with them.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a whole lot of festivities going on. The pregame show is going to be an hour long instead of 30 minutes. Wow. I'm actually not working that day, but I will be in attendance with my family. I'm just going to be taking in a ball game and taking in all the festivities because it's going to be a cool day. I will say this, too. After the game tomorrow on Wednesday, my family and I are going to be at 4th Base Grill right across the street from the field. So come in and bother us as much as you want.
All right. 4th Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant. Dillard's buying for everybody. No, you didn't say that. Never mind.
Oh, man, you didn't say that.
No. Don't take that literal. Tim, thank you so much, my buddy. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, Sparky.
Take care. There he is. Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter, at Dillard Tim. He's just one of the best dudes around. But seriously, Friday night, that game, I'm telling you, if you can't watch it, and I don't know if I'm going to be around or not, DVR it and go back and watch it later, because I promise you, you will laugh a lot during the course of the game on Friday, because I promise you, they're all going to have stories to try and embarrass Rock and try and get him. It's going to be like a roast version on TV of Bill Schroeder. Vaskurgeon, Sutton, Paschke, these guys, man, there's going to be some great stories, guaranteed.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.